Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Everybody, this is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. I am grateful and mainly humble that you have taken time out of your schedule, wherever you are, to join me at the Master's Table, where we will begin to sup and begin to feast on the goodness of the Lord, feast on His Word, amen, and that each of us will walk out of here or leave from this broadcast today changed, encouraged, amen, uplifted, amen, seeing things the way that God wants us to see them. So once again, thank you for joining me here on tonight's broadcast. Just want to do some announcements this evening and then immediately get right into this message. Amen. Real quick, for announcements on today, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me right here for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. That's every Tuesday at 7, every Thursday at 7, and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. You can hear us broadcasted live right here at www.ctkr.org. As many of you may already know, this is our website, People of God. We ask and invite you to our website. Take a moment. As you're visiting us, get to know more about myself, learn more about Apostle McQueen and our ministry that God has graced us with, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. I'm just wanting to also let you know, amen, that as you're looking through our web pages, amen, please keep us in prayer, amen. Consider becoming a vision partner with this ministry and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We also have sons and daughters that are overseas, that are doing a great, mighty work for God. Amen? And not only do they need your personal prayers, but they also need your financial support and push so that they can continue, amen, doing the will of God in the earth. Amen. We do have a donate button. As the Lord touches your heart, please put your information in, how much you want to give, amen, in those boxes and make sure that it gets to the proper place where it needs to go in order to complete the will and the way of the Lord in the lives of His people. Amen. So we do have a donate button. Or if you wish to donate to us, Christ the King, because this ministries, amen, that is helping us to further keep the ministry on the air and continue furthering the gospel as needed. Amen. Also, on our website, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at your church or any one of your programs, we ask that you leave your name, your number, email address and a contact number so that someone can get in touch with you within 12 to 24 hours concerning your event. Amen. And as the Lord leads, we will definitely be there and minister a mighty word and let the Lord have his way. Amen. Amen. Now, for the big news, I'm excited, people of God. Go to my Facebook page, WOPD, or Women of Prophetic Destiny. You can also find me under Crystal McQueen, or Prophetess Crystal. You can also find my big news under Apostle Christopher McQueen or Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, which are our Facebook pages, on October 18th and 19th. That's October 18th and 19th. I am hosting my 10-year Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. This year's theme is Don't Abort Your Assignment. And we're coming out of the book of Nehemiah. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 2 is going to be a powerful message. We're going to have men and women of God coming from all over that are going to be ministering these powerful messages. Amen. We have teaching. We have preaching. We have prophetic psalmists. We have guest speakers coming from all over. We have workshops. We have, amen, men and women that are coming singing to just bring down the word, bring down his presence, amen. And I want you to be there. Do you hear me? I want you to be there October 18th and 19th in Florida. Join me at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church located at 213 Stone Street. That's 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida, October 18th and 19th. Please, amen, book your calendars. I want to see you there. Amen. October 18th and 19th. That's Friday and Saturday. Amen. We are looking for a time in the Lord. Amen. I'm looking for signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm expecting God to do great and abundant, marvelous, mighty things, amen, just to give him glory. Do you know what I mean? Just to give him some glory, and that's what I want. So you can find that information on my website, amen, on Facebook, excuse me, or you can also find it on the www page of ctkr.org, and you can also find it on WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. Want to hear from you, amen. Amen. Now, those are the announcements. Amen. Let's go into prayer, and then let's get into this word of God. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and I worship you. God, I humble myself before you this evening in your presence, Lord. I humble myself, and I just ask that you would have your way. Let your presence begin to just come in this place where the broadcast is. God, begin to minister mightily unto your people. Speak forth your words tonight. Let those that have an ear hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. Father, we are looking for a change. We are looking for a change in the spirit realm. God, we are looking to be renewed, revitalized. Lord, we are looking to hear a right now word that's going to shift and uplift, tear down, root out, build, and plant in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking that this word will begin to bring life, abundant life. God, I'm asking that you will begin to open up our spiritual inner ear that we may hear what you have to say. God, cause our will to line up with your will on tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, even now, I let this word just begin to minister and just begin to have someone say, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We glorify you. We magnify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Come on, wherever you are, put those hands together. Open up your mouth and give God some glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Tonight, people of God, I want to talk about behaving like a Christian. Behaving like a Christian. And I am coming out of the book of Romans, chapter 12, the ninth chapter, excuse me, the 12th chapter, ninth verse. So often, so often a lot of people have just given their hand to the pastor, as they say, gotten saved, you know, was pricked by the Lord, heard a powerful message or heard a song that was sung, their hearts were pricked, they went before the altar or wherever they may have been at that moment, wherever you may have been at that moment, and you ask the Lord to come into your heart. However, many people have stopped at that place and they have not gone on. They have not grown. They have not matured past that point. And when you say that you are a Christian, people are expecting, people are looking, people are actually demanding, amen, that your life will line up with what you represent. We sing a song, whose side are you leaning on? Leaning on the Lord's side. And when you say that you are leaning on the Lord's side, people are expecting, those that are in the church as well as outside of the church are expecting us, amen, to respond a certain way. They're expecting our lifestyles to be different. They're expecting our thought patterns to be different. They're expecting our conversation to be different. Now, I'm not saying that people are expecting perfection. But I am saying that those that bear the name of Christ, there must be a change in you. There was a song that was written some time ago that says, a change has come over me. He changed me. My life complete. Tremaine Hawkins sung that song years ago. And if you really listen to the words, amen, people of God, you realize that once you ask the master to come and make his abode on the inside of you, he expects you to change. And in fact, you should also have that same expectation within you to change. No longer is it I, but it's the Christ that lives in me. And too often, people of God, we bear his name in word, but not in deed or in character. And so when those who are unsaved look upon us, they don't see a difference. They don't see a separation. They don't see an opposite. So therefore, we sit back and we say, well, don't nobody want to come into the house of God? Well, it's not that nobody really wants to come into the house of God. It's just that when people come, they're expecting to see something different than where they've already been. And those of us that are in the house of God, we too should expect something different than what has already been. It does not make any sense for you to be saved at year one, and we're expecting you to be 5 years down the road. However, we don't expect you to be saved for 5 years and acting in a manner as though you just got recommitted last night or just received salvation last night. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable anymore where we say, well, the Lord just knows my heart. The man upstairs understands. If you've been saved a long time, if you've been saved a number of years, no longer is the Father winking at those little games that people play, the games that we like to play. We don't have no desire to change. We just work on, just do our part and don't ask me to do any more. I was having a conversation, amen, with Apostle, with my husband, and we were talking about how sometimes being a Christian, amen, leave a bad taste in your mouth when you see others who profess the name of Christ act completely opposite of what a real Christian, a Christ-like, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is supposed to act. And I understand, just looking at it on the in the manner of the flesh, I can understand why many walk away from the church. They love God. Hear me now. They love God with everything in them, but they don't want to deal with the foolishness of having to love God. And when people come into the house of God, I already had to fight, amen, all week long, dealing with the craziness out here, fighting the demons and the devils and those that are in the flesh in the human form, just life in general. For me to come into the house and still have to fight with the demons and devils who carry the name, the banner of Christianity above their head. I got to do too much fighting. I got to fight through all your mess, my mess, and everything that's going on around me in order just to get to his feet. Well, tonight, I really want to delve a little deeper as the Lord leads me, and we'll go further as he begins to talk about the situation, as the Holy Spirit goes further on, really what it is to behave like a Christian, his type, what the Holy Spirit is expecting, what Jesus is expecting us to behave as. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And as I was saying before, my husband was reading and teaching on this message and prior to on Tuesday night, and it just pricked me because I said, you know, I really look at how many people's lives are really not lining up with this word, that the church has some real flaws in lining up. Now, am I not saying nobody's living right? No, God has a remnant. God has a people all across the nation, all across this world that is doing everything that they need to do, that are in perfect alignment and standing with him and are preaching and teaching an unadulterated gospel, telling people that this is what you must do to be saved and this is what you must continue to do to remain saved so that we can all meet him and hear those famous words we've all been waiting for. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But I know on the flip side, we're going to have a lot of disappointed people because we have many people that are seeking after him. They want to know the truth. They really want to, as I said before, they love him with everything that they have within them. They love God, but they don't always love the people. And they don't love the personalities. They don't love all of the man-made fluff. That's the word I want to use. The man-made fluff that people have to go through in order just to love God. Now, there are some true rules, amen, that are in this Bible that God is going to hold people accountable to. Yes, he's a loving God. He loves us. He loves everybody. He created us in his image and in his likeness. He loves us. However, amen, it's not enough for you to just continue to say he loves me and I can do whatever I want to do because he loves me. He won't honestly, you know, he surely won't put me in hell because, you know, he's not that kind of God. He can't do that. Well, the Bible says the opposite of that. If you refuse to accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your personal savior, then like the old folks say, hell is your home. There is nothing cute about that. There is no, you know, ooh, it is. Hell is your home if you do not accept him. if you reject his son. And also at the same time, the Bible also talks about that there's a certain lifestyle that we must uphold to. And if we refuse, amen, to uphold that lifestyle as a Christian, and there's plenty of places in the Bible that talks about that, that there's not just one thing. Once again, the lake of fire is your home. Now, I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I'm not saying this to, with all the hocus pocus. I'm not seeing any of that information at all. But I do want us tonight to be sober, amen, as to what the Lord is really demanding from us in this Christian lifestyle. It says here, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, he says, let love, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I've read to you verses 9 through 20. The Lord had a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Behaving like a Christian. In all these scriptures that I just read, it's a hard thing because it looks as though you're playing the punk as a Christian. But as you read further, you're seeing that it's not about being seen, huh? It's really about the strong, the humbler, the humbler you are, the stronger you are. He said, "Let love." Be without hypocrisy. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 6, it says, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. 2 Corinthians 6 and 6. He said, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. In other words, when you love somebody, love them with wholeness. Love them with purity. Don't do this half love like the world does. I love you as long as I can get something from you. I love you as long as I need you. And let me pause right here for just a half a second. We have too many Christian brothers and sisters, amen, who are very self-serving. And I say that to say this. The only time you associate with someone is when you need a favor, is when you need them to do something. They have something you want. And so all of a sudden, you're able to find people's phone number, email address, text. You can find them wherever they may be. But the moment that you get your need met, we don't hear from you. That's not real love. We have a lot of brothers and sisters, some people, that the only time that they reach out to you is when it's going to make, it's going to set them some kind of way. Otherwise than that, they have no conversation for you. Otherwise than that, they don't even hang around in the same circles as you do. They don't check on you as just being a human being. They have no conversation. But let them find, amen, you doing something that draws attention. Then all of a sudden they, as I like to say, rise from the ashes. My brothers and sisters, that's not what love is. Our love, amen, needs to be complete, pure, without any hidden agendas. In fact, God hates hypocrisy. When we worship God, we have to worship. The Bible says we worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. When we worship him, we got to worship him without abandonment. We can't worship him with a hidden agenda. First of all, he sees all and he knows all. He already knows before you even ask a thing. He knows that you have a need. But we have to be true and honest when we come to him. Most of the time, amen, when we worship God, we come because we try to get our list of desires met. We have no purpose to worship the Father just because he is God, because he's good, because he's kind, because he's magnificent. Just because he woke you up this morning, he made sure, amen, that nothing happened to you while you were asleep. He made sure that when your eyes opened up, that everything was in place. He made sure that your children were in place. He made sure that you were able to get to your job safely. He made sure that your children made it back home safely. He made sure everything was working in divine order. So the least that you can do is worship him sometimes without the list of I need, I need, I need, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. Sometimes you just got to go before him and just fall on your face and say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. When was the last time you just went before God without the Santa Claus list and just said, Lord, I thank you. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. When was the last time you just sung a song unto the Lord? When was the last time you even asked him what he wanted? The Bible says that he hates hypocrisy in worship, that hypocrites pretend to be devoted to God, but it's something else entirely different on the flip side, as they say. Ezekiel 33:31-32 says it in a nutshell that God finds hypocrites repulsive unto him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be repulsive unto the Father because I have too much that I need from him. I have too much that I owe him. I was a mess when he found me. Yeah, I might have looked okay on the outside to some, but I know on the inside I was a mess. I was tore up, as they say, from the floor up. I tried to put it together as nicely as I could. I tried to present a package, amen, but I had leaks, I had cracks, I had holes on the inside. And only God was able to put those pieces back together. And he's still working on areas in my life. So how dare I have to come to him with an agenda when I come to worship? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Psalms 34 and 14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's interesting because in that passage it says seek peace and pursue. Go after peace. Run after it. Dog it down. We dog everything else down. We dog men down. We dog women down. If anything, dog peace down. Nothing's more valuable than peace. People of God, there was a time in my life when I had no peace. I had no peace in my mind. And for many out there, Christian as well as those that are non-Christian, do not have the peace resting on the inside of them. They toss and they turn at night. They sleep with the light on. They sleep with the radio on. They sleep with the fan on. They sleep with the TV on just so they can have something going on so that they don't hear the voices that are speaking at night. They don't hear those demons and that spirit of worry and doubt and unbelief just taunting them. But something about when the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. He says he will keep you in perfect peace, all whose mind is stayed on him. Where is your mind today, people of God? Where is your mind? Is your mind focused on everything but him? Is your mind focused on concern about the bills, concern about the children, concern about your job, concern about your ministry? Where is your mind being focused? When my focus stays on him, and I allow his peace to rest, rule, and reign in my life, then I don't have to sleep with the light on. I don't have to keep people conversating with me so I don't have to be alone. I don't have to worry about having the TV playing on all night, running up my electric bill because the fan is running all night, the air conditioning is running all night, the TV's on. I don't have to worry about this idle chatter because I have the peace of God. Now, for some of you, you just need to take authority in the spirit realm and cast that demonic spirit out of your house. Cast him out of your home. Claim back what is rightfully yours, because he's given you that authority in Christ Jesus. And I dare you and I admonish you that if you claim back your peace and you kick that enemy up out of your domain, then that peace that you have been seeking, that peace that you have been desiring will begin to happen. He said hate, abhor, avoid. And that word abhor there means hate. I think some of us, we don't hate evil enough. We love what we do. We have a relationship with it. We don't know how to separate the two. We don't know how to separate that what God hates versus what I hate. That word abhor is a strong word. It's not saying, dislike what is evil. No, he's saying hate that which is evil. When you hate something, you don't even want it in your vicinity. You don't want it around you. You don't even want the name being mentioned, when you hate something, you don't want to look at it, you don't want to touch it. If a thought even comes to your mind, you already uttered the blood of Jesus. You don't even want to deal with it. And that's what God is saying right here in his word. You got to look at sin and look at what I consider evil, what I call evil, and hate it with the passion that I hate it with. And clean with everything that is within you to what is good. For many of you who've had children, or even you may have been one yourself, that when you were younger, every time your mama or big mama would move, or your auntie, that favorite parent or that favorite loved one, anytime they would move, you would be attached right to their leg. They couldn't turn around. They was right on your heel. Or you turn around and your children are right on your heels. Everywhere you go, they're right there. You're like, good Lord, can you go somewhere and sit down, child? Because they're right, because they're clinging to you. They have a love for you. And then when you love something, you want to be around it 24/7. You want to have something that has its scent, your parents' scent, or your aunt's scent, or whoever that favorite loved one. You want, you hold on to just to have that person around you. If I can just get something that's familiar to me, I cling to it. And that is what he wants us to do to him, to cling to him, cling to righteousness, cling to sanctification, cling, to our salvation, cling to learning about living this lifestyle called Christianity, cling to the things of Christ. He said, be kind. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. John 13:34 says it just like this. A new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What? He didn't say love those who love me back. Oh, prophetess, you just don't understand. Oh, I do understand. Because people can make it very difficult for you to love. But here's the reality of it. 9 times out of 10 people of God, we love on condition. As long as you're treating me kind, I love you. As long as you're doing for me, I love you. As long as we're in agreement and everything's going my way, I love you. But can you love when they act, when they hate you? Can you love when they lie on you? Can you still love, when they speak all manner of evil against you? Can you love when they just act very cruel and nasty to you? Can you still love them? Can you still love? Can you love when they don't look the part? Can you love when they don't act the part? A new commandment. This isn't something that we have a choice on, people of God. And this is something where you have got to stay in the face of the master about, because life will turn your attention to something else. Life will turn your heart. Situations and circumstances that happen to you just living will cause your heart to wax cold. And that's why you have got to stay in his face. That's why you've got to stay in the word. That's why you have to constantly walk in forgiveness. That's why you constantly got to ask for forgiveness. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? In order to keep our hearts clear. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. A new commandment I've given to you. that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Jesus, who was without sin, took on sin. Things that we should have suffered for, he suffered for. That's how much love he has. And I think when we look at the story, when we read about it, when we hear about it, we have become so common with it. It's like, yeah, he loved us. Yeah, I know he loved us. But I don't really think we truly understand how much he really loved us, loved his own creation. Because the reality, people of God, that if it was up to you and if it was up to me, a lot of people would not be here today. Because to hold that type of power, let alone we barely want to go down for somebody who does something wrong and we see it, we're ready to turn them in quickly. I'm not going down for you. That's the first thing we'll jump up and say in a minute. Or if I go down, I'm taking everything in this place with me. But can you go when you know, make it better than that? Can you still go through when you've been falsely accused? And even though truth has been found, then you still have to go through it. You still have to suffer the consequences, even when you know it's not your fault. Can you still keep your mouth closed? Can you still walk and allow and go through the process and keep your heart in place, keep your mind in place, and keep your mouth closed? Or are you going to let everybody know, going down kicking and screaming, they ain't going to take me out? I'm not going down without a fight. Many of us could not pass that test. I know I'm right about it. I don't care how much Jesus you quoting, and I don't care how much scripture you quoting. Let someone come in and drag and falsely accuse you and drag you away and throw you somewhere or cause you to lose your job, lie on you and make false accusations. Can you still love like he loved us? That's just one fact. That he went to the cross, he died. Can you go as far as can you take it that far? Are you willing to even go that far? We don't have to answer that. I'm just saying, we don't be quick to answer, because a lot of us say a whole lot of things, but when we're put to the test, we find lacking therein. He says, be highly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor. In honor. It's interesting. Romans 13 and 7 says, render therefore to all their due. He says, I want to go here. Romans, Philippians 2 and 3, I want to say, let nothing be done through selfish. I think that fits us better. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. This right here done knocked about a lot of people out of the game already. Not that I'm calling Christianity a game, not that I'm calling ministry a game, but I'm seeing a lot of us or a lot of people, amen, this scripture has expose some things, because when we do things, a lot of people, when things are being done, and it's not about being done because it needed to be done, it's being done because I want somebody to recognize me. I need my name shouted out in the rafters. I want somebody to recognize whose name is attached to this. This didn't happen because I did it. Let somebody hear, let somebody mention or actually slightly forget to mention your name or a name that helped out somewhere, and all sand breaks loose. Folks quit coming to church, quit talking to each other because you didn't mention my name. When was the last time that we just do things for people because it needed to be done? Why does somebody have to call your name out? Why? Because that's nothing but pride and selfishness and selfish ambition, how I can get my name forward. It's always about getting in the right, getting on the stage, getting the light shine down on me. So we'll snub and we'll lie and we'll cheat and we'll steal just so we can position ourselves. It's so much political mindsets and games that go on nowadays, not only in the workplace or in the world, but also in churches around the nation. It's all about the political move. They ask you a question, but they really need something else. All the while they're trying to reposition and move certain things, and they throw a lot of smoke and mirrors up in your face so you can't see what they're really doing. But when it's all said and done, you find out that it was really all about their selfish motive. But the Bible says, let nothing, I'm going to say it one more time, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Always look to push forth that man or that woman or that situation. Always look for the betterment of a situation. Always look bottom line to glorify God in whatever the situation is. Not so that someone can shout your name. Not that someone can carry you up on their shoulders talking about hee-hee, one, two, three. No. We have enough of that, and look where it has gotten us. We have so much of that that we have truly forgotten why we are actually saved, why God actually saved us and the purpose he placed us here instead of us being a light in the earth. We become a light that's hidden. When you should be shining forth out of darkness, you got a shade over you. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. That means everybody. Don't pick and choose who you want. Don't pick and choose who can be in your circle. These are my friends, and this is all I want to deal with. You small-minded person. Small-minded individual. Fear God, or honor God and honor the King. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging. We got a lot of lazy, lagging people. But yet, when we pray, we want God to do it lickety-split in a hurry. Yet, when we have a task to meet, we move all heaven and earth to make sure it happens. Yet, when we have people following us, we want them to move at the speed of light. But when it comes to us doing what God has called us to do, we can't never seem to get around to it. I don't know what my mission is. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I need to be doing. Not lagging in diligence. Oh, I'm tired. Listen, Christianity is not for the weak. It's not for the faint heart. It's not for Johnny-come-latelys. If God has placed his hand upon you, if the Lord has saved you, then he has called you to a purpose to make sure that his kingdom is expanded in the earth. And he wants to use you to do it. And he's asking. It don't make him, it just does not. He's given each and every one of us a vision. He has placed something upon your heart that only you can do. I'm not talking about these little dreams. I want to be a fairy princess. I'm not talking about these little fluff dreams. I'm talking about he's put something in your spirit that no matter what you do, it will not go away. He's put a dream in your heart that no matter what you do, how you try to shake it, you cannot shake it. It always manages to rise up, as I always say, out of the ashes. It always manages to come around the corner. It always manages to manifest itself in your dreams. You always see it can't die. It's something that stirs in your heart, that constantly stirs on the inside of you. That is what he's calling you to do. And you cannot afford to continuously be lagging in the diligence. You got to run this race with everything that's within you. You got to dust yourself off, huh? Get back. I should say we really need to dust our knees off, get back down on our face, repent, get ourselves right, get rid of all this mess that's been in our hearts and minds, get rid of this lazy spirit, and ask God to resurrect some things on the inside of us, resurrect the dream, resurrect the vision, resurrect his will within our lives, renew my heart, renew a right spirit in me, huh? Renew my mind daily, and then get back into the fervent in the spirit, serving him, serving the Lord with gladness, serving the Lord with joy, serving the Lord with everything that we have, with mind, body, soul, and spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope and patience in tribulation. Oh, yes, the tests will come. Oh, yes, the trials will come. That's not the time to back up. That's time to dig in even more and dig into his grace. Grab the horns of the altar. Pray your way through. But don't quit. Whatever you do, just don't stop. We done stopped too long. We done been saved too long. We done been, we've allowed every excuse. And that's what the enemy loves. He wants you to be ineffective in the body. You can be saved all day long, but just don't be effective. As long as you're not effective, you're not a threat. But the minute that you start moving in the things of the kingdom, moving in the things of God, then he starts looking around like, okay, I got to stop this, so let me start up. Okay, let me get over here and start throwing in some dust and throwing some sand up. And that's where we get scared, saints of the Most High. We get scared because we start seeing a little rumbling and shaking. Not Paul, but David said, teach my hands to war. Some of us, we need to ask God to give us a warrior spirit. You got to be able to fight in the spirit realm. We done got too weak and complacent. Who in the world told you that Christianity was just a quiet, wholesome, ooh, this is just a good thing to do. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We have too many Christians that are in that mold. This is a time to fight. As I said, in 2013, God is expecting us as the saints of the Most High to produce for his kingdom. Time for us to walk in the manifestation. And don't think the devil and his demons are going to sit back and just let you go up there and walk in your fruitfulness. No, he's going to try to stop you however he can. But, child of God, you are from the Most High. He's given you the tools, the word of God, his name, and the authority to stop every demon in its tracks. Use your weapons, weapons of praise, weapons of worship, the word of God, the blood of Jesus. Use your weapons. Prayer, fasting, use the weapons. And that's part of our issue. Many of us, we can knock out half of the issues in our lives if we would just use the tools that we have. Many of us have the tools sitting up on our walls talking about, oh, look how pretty those are. Those are just nice decorations. And we have become punching bags of the enemy. Take down the tools. Teach your hands. As I always pray, Father, teach my hands to war. Because the only way that you are going to bring into manifestation his glory with the help of the Holy Ghost, you are going to have to war and fight in the spirit realm. You're going to have to hew out a pathway. But you can't give up. You can't give up. Rejoicing in hope, patience, in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. It's going to take a prayer life. I'm going to say it again. It's going to take a prayer life. In other words, it's no longer acceptable with this little 15-minute prayer that I do when I walk into the doors on Bible study week or Sunday morning. You got to have a prayer life on the rest of the days of the week. And let me tell you, your power, your anointing comes in your relationship through prayer. When am I going to see the manifestation of my ministry? Get in prayer. Many of the old churches were birthed out through prayer. You don't hardly see prayer in any of the churches anymore. Prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. When I pray, and I pray right, then I begin to know the mind and the will of the Father. And as I know the mind and the will of the Father, then the Holy Ghost will begin to put faces in front of you, put names on your mind, where you will begin to intercede for the needs of the saints. They may not open their mouth. They may not say a word to you. But the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, and he will bring them before you. You hear the old saying, ooh, the Lord has brought your faith before me. Well, the reason why he was bringing you before them, because you had a need or you were going through a situation, and they began to intercede on your behalf. And as they began to intercede, then your need would be met. We got to get away from, I'm just doing this all on my own. We got to get away from this one-man religion, this one-man, I don't need nobody but me and Jesus. We need one another. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given the hospitality. I'm not done, but I'm going to stop right here. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, God, I thank you. I bless your name. You are the worthy one to be praised and honored in this place. God, I thank you right now that you have given me the opportunity to be able to minister your word before your people. Father, I pray and I ask right now in Jesus' name that this word will stay before our faces, that this word will begin to put this word in our hearts and in our minds. Don't let us shift to the left or to the right. Help us, God, to walk out and behave as Christians, as you call and desire for us to behave as. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you because you're manifesting. God, I thank you because you're bringing somebody out. I thank you because you're calling us deeper to you. I thank you because you're bringing us closer to you, into your mindset, into your will. In Jesus' name, we pray. Now, for those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode with me. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live for you. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the body of Christ. We here at Christ the King and Distance Ministries pray that you will find a Bible-believing church that's teaching and training and will teach you to become a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, fulfilling your kingdom assignment in the earth. Amen. Listen, I want you to go to my website, our website, www.ctkr.org, and I also want you to be there and join me for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference October 18th and 19th, 2013 in Cocoa, Florida. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. I thank you for joining me, and I will see you here next week at 7 p.m. for a prophetic atmosphere. Be blessed.